Well, making sense of a person's story through Scripture, that's what we get to talk about in this last session of the day. Let me go to the Lord and ask for His help. Well, Father, we, after this conclusion of this day, thank You for the sweet time of fellowship we've had together, the sweet time in Your Word, sitting under the teaching of Your Word, learning about Your ways and Your wisdom and the call that You've placed on each of our lives to be ministers of the gospel, to be ministers of Your Word, to bring these words to those who need them. And so we ask You now that You'd give us humble hearts to receive, humble hearts to believe, humble hearts to, again, stay attentive, even at the end of a day like this. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, making sense of a person's story through Scripture. Because if you've been doing this for a little while, or maybe you're just starting, but I assume many of you have been doing this for a while, you've come to realize that counseling ministry begins with story. It begins with a brother or sister sitting across from you and telling you their story, and you asking questions to draw out more of their story, a personal story, a person created in the image of God who's lived in relationship to God and others, in relationship to all things in creation, both visible and invisible. And so the early moments of counseling conversation introduce that person's story. They don't just give a list of facts or words about themselves. They tell you stories about themselves. And we ask, you know, tell me about life growing up, about your family, about where you're from, about what you do, about even about the shaping influences from your life. And that tends to happen in the form of story. And I even encourage, as often as you're able, to get those you're ministering to share stories. It really helps you get to know them well. As you're sitting with husbands and wives, it's not just, okay, what do you fight about, or where's the conflict, or what's the issue, but tell me a story from the last week that captures really well why you're here. Share a story from the past month that have a beginning, an end, a middle, a theme, a climax point, conflict, that you think really helps me understand what you're facing right now. And so how are we to make sense of the story of what we hear? I don't know about you. Sometimes it'll just come in a flood of story, and then 20 minutes in, you're like, what am I going to do with all this? 30 minutes in, 40 minutes in, and there's so much information. There's so much content. And so what I'd like to think about is, again, just in 50 minutes or so, a method for moving from raw life material to biblical conceptualization and care. How do we make sense of what we hear? And that begins, number one, with the word know. K-N-O-W, know Scripture well. And I say this because Scripture is a wonderful backlight to the stories of people. Any photographers in the room love photography? And some of you may be old enough to remember when there was actual film involved, right? When there was actually things that got printed out in special machines. And if you just had these strips of film and you're wondering, what's in these? What do you have to hold it up to light? And if you see those who were photographers for National Geographic 40 years ago, 30 years ago, they'd have these big work tables in their offices that you turn a light on and the whole thing lights up. And they'd lay the film on that table. And that provides the backlight to try to make sense of the image that was in front of them. Well, that's how Scripture is meant to operate in the Christian life. It's how Scripture is meant to operate, especially in the ministry of the Word. That as you're listening to someone share their story, you want there to be a lot of backlight for you personally in what you're hearing. So read and listen to Scripture carefully as a way of life. Don't wait till you're meeting with people to think about going to read the Bible. You want to drink of it deeply every day. You want to bathe in it every day. You want the Word of God to absolutely filter through your whole view of life. So that now, as someone is sitting in front of you and beginning to share their life story, you're hearing it and seeing it against the backdrop of Scripture, seeing God for who He is, what He does, to what end He purposes, seeing people for who we are, what we do, to what end we purpose. Being able to answer, how does Scripture tell the story of God and people? What are the big themes, the big truths, the big points, the key relationships between God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, people, sin, suffering, life, death, anxiety, discouragement, anger, the things that tend to really matter to people, like where you just have Scripture that comes to mind when you hear people talk. The Word of God should be running in the background of our thoughts, shedding light on what matters, even focusing our attention, filtering, you'll see there, our perceptions. So that then as they're sharing their story, because 80% of it you're not going to be able to respond to, at some point you have to pick, okay, what part of what they just said stood out to me? What sentence of that paragraph seems to be the load-bearing sentence? When you want Scripture to help you make those kinds of decisions. And I would say this is the part of this method that you usually don't see. It's invisible. It's just running in the background. And then listen to a person's story in order to hear what matters. We're listening for what seems to really matter to that person speaking. Or we're not validating or evaluating the validity of what they're saying, but the importance of it. What matters to them? What's the significant pieces to them? So what I'd like to do is there's a book called Girl in Pieces by Kathleen Glasgow, and I don't recommend it. It's not for the faint of heart. It's a very hard, brutal read. But it's a huge bestseller, but it follows the story of a girl named Charlie who, and a story of self-injury and cutting, and a story of abuse and mistreatment. But what was captivating to me about the story is it's her perspective in words. You get to follow her and her relationships. And so what I did is just took some of the things that she was saying in that story, and if you're sitting there and you're hearing her story, and she's sharing her story, and these types of things are being said, like, okay, that's something you want to pay attention to. That's something you want to draw out from the story. And so Charlie was born out of wedlock. Her mom and dad got drunk, one night stand. Her mom got pregnant with her, and he was gone. So never met her dad. Mother was overwhelmed, cold, worldly, abandoned her to the world in her preteen years, lived on the street, drinking, drugs, experience of abuse, trouble with the law, started cutting, and at what point cut too deep and almost died, was taken to the ER by friends that lived out on the street with her, placed in a residential treatment center. She'd been in several before. Insurance eventually ran out, and so they called her mom, and her mom came and picked her up from the facility, but then drove her from the facility to a bus station and just bought her a ticket to get on the bus to go wherever she wanted. Wasn't willing to take her back, wasn't willing to help her get back on her feet, and so she just takes the bus to wherever it takes her, to a town where she thought there was a friend she could find, like in Arizona. And so the story just follows her in her words, in her dialogue, in her conversations with other people. And so I'll just share some of those quotes as we go through. But one thing you're listening for is recurrent and serious thoughts. Just what are the recurrent, serious thoughts in their story? One thing Charlie says is, I just want to feel better. My own body is my deepest enemy. It wants, and when it does not get, it cries and cries, and I punish it. How can you live in fear of your own body? Does that sound significant to you? That's significant. And so again, you'll hear that, and you're not just going to jump in and pounce on it. You're filing it away. You're writing it down. Getting out means talking. It means